Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 372. That's a lot, by the way.
That's a lot.
Just in case you're wondering. We're down the road a little bit there. This week we have some guys from the band White Cross. You may have heard of them in the past. They've been around for a day or two. They're going to talk about their new record that's coming out on March 22nd. With us tonight is guitarist Rex Carroll and David Roberts. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're doing all right.
Good to see you all. David Roberts, of course, is our lead vocalist. And is Benny going to join us later, our bass player?
He was here earlier and then disappeared.
He froze.
Froze.
Okay. Right. He went like this, but you told me to freeze.
He did. I think he saw that your name popped up and he just scared the crap out of him and you left.
Well, we're here and we're happy to talk with you, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be on your show. And that's very impressive. Do you do like this every week? I mean,
we did for a while.
Every week, every couple of weeks, you know, that's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of years already.
Yeah. We've been at it for, it's been about 7 years, 6 years, 7 years. And we were doing them weekly for a while. And it got to the point where we were like,
we ran out of topics
and then we ran out of people. And then,
right.
Rock and rollers say all the same thing, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rock and roll. It's just rock and roll.
Yeah. So we've kind of dialed it back a little bit, and you know, lives have changed and stuff like that. So, but it's good. It's great. We got it. It's cool for us to be able to sit down with some great artists and have some discussions and learn about people and what's going on in their world and hearing about new music. That's the best part of this. So you guys have a new record coming out, right? Here in just a few days, the 22nd.
Yes, we do. It's called Fear No Evil, and I'm holding a copy of it in my hot little hand right here. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty awesome.
That's sweet.
I love the artwork. Awesome. You guys' artwork is always so cool.
We have a graphic design guy out by Kansas City. He's amazing. That would be Wendell Wright. And he latched on to our band about 5-6 years ago, and he's been with us since then. So we love Wendell. He does great work for us.
Beautiful human.
Yes.
Cool. He's an artist too, works with his hands and builds. He'll go to like these different farms and like take their old wood and create like a beautiful like dining room table or whatever.
Yeah,
you
know, that's cool. Custom furniture from wood.
Wow.
Just a talented dude.
Plus, he gets around with his camera and he does photography for a lot of groups and stuff. So,
yeah.
Nice. We're happy he's part of our White Cross team. You know, we have a lot of great people that work with us. We have Sue, our executive producer, and we have the record company. We got the people over at Dark Star Records, and we've got radio promotion and PR promotion, all this stuff going on with us. So we have a lot of good things going for us. So we're grateful for all of it.
Cool.
But the record, you know, the record stands on its own two legs. I love this album. It's got some of our best music, and the sound of it is like through the roof. It's amazing. It's the best sounding record I've ever done. So
I was just telling David earlier before you got on, I said it's a very guitar oriented, and for a person like myself who, you know, plays guitar, I really enjoyed it. I was listening to it earlier, just going through it, and love the riffs. You know, there's a lot of new sounding stuff, but then there's a lot of stuff that sounds familiar for us that have been around a few days. Mm-hmm. but it all sounds fresh. You know, don't get me wrong. It doesn't date you, but it's got some great riffs in it.
You know, I was coming up in the 1970s as a teenager and coming of age in the 80s with all the great Guitar Heroes from the 80s was considered the heavy metal music back then, but the LA rock scene, you had all the groups starting from Van Halen to Rat and Motley Crue and Dokken and Whitesnake and all of these great bands that just had amazing musicians. And you know, the three things that they all had and that I consider is the important thing for Whitecross. You got to have, you know, you got to have three things, four things, really. You got to have a great song to start with. And then you need an amazing lead singer. So we have David Roberts, who has been compared to Ronnie James Dio, David Coverdale, Jeff Tate, Sammy Hagar. You know, so I'm thrilled that that people have this conversation, and he's in the conversation as just slotting right in another talent like those guys. And then you got to have great guitar, and you know, I do my best on that. And thank you for the compliment there. And then you got to have a great band, you know, and you've got to have a great live presentation. So I like to think that we're, well, as long as I've been doing this band, I feel like we're hitting on all of those points here lately. So we're finally just achieving that level that where I would put this band up against, you know, we would be compatible with any rock band, anytime, anywhere. Cause you know, that's what we do all day long. People say, well, I got to go to work. It's like, well, this is my work. And we love our work, man. We love our work.
Yeah, I go to work too, but I don't get to do this at work. I do other things. No,
my work's not as cool as this. Trust me.
It's fun sometimes, but it's not this kind of fun. That's for sure. So right. I know this that the new record that's coming out, it's been a little while since you've had a record out, right? It's been a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken. So is that right?
Yeah, that's more than right. Well,
it's been, yeah, I wasn't sure how far to stretch that, but it's been a
bit.
You
know, I don't know how well you guys know Whitecross Music, the band. I don't know if you just learned about us recently or if you're longtime fans or what, but we have been together as a band since 1985. Our first album came out in 1987. And the original singer, you know, I had actually left the band for 6 years from 94 until 2000. So we started up again in the year 2000. And we tried to make a new album. We did a re-recording of our first album because the technical quality was not that great, although people bought it like crazy. You know, it's like, people who like this kind of music, they were just eating it up. But other than that, we haven't done any new music for like many, many years. And it was just, things were just kind of had just bogged down to where we were at like a stalemate in the group. So our original vocalist left and Dave Roberts came in, and man, it's just been like forward, gung-ho, you know, all engines firing at the same time. And there's like a common purpose and a common goal. And what's great between David and myself is we speak the same language musically. We both come from that bluesier, heavy rock era of the early 80s, like that kind of that Whitesnake sound. I mean, Deep Purple was like a big influence for me growing up. You know, and you could certainly ask Dave about some of his influences, but so it was just a natural thing when Dave came in. It's like, okay, now the creativity gateways are open again. And so it's natural that we start creating new music again. And so that took about a couple of years, and COVID got in the way of that a little bit. But, you know, so here we are, and we have our new album. It's called Fear No Evil, and I love it, and it's the greatest thing I've ever done. Yay!
And every artist, that's what you want your next record to be, right? You want it to be the better than the last one, and the best one you've ever done. That's the purpose.
I was having a conversation about that today with somebody, and we just agreed that, I mean, my theory is that, you know, whatever you put out as an artist, it doesn't make any sense to, well, that song is pretty good, Dave. That vocal sounded okay. I mean, it wasn't your best work, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, oh, the guitar solo was okay, I guess. It sounds like a filler. But you know what? Who cares? We'll just put it out. I don't understand that kind of thinking at all.
Well, if you're not upping the bar, why do it?
Exactly. You know, single time you put something out, it has to be the best thing you've ever done. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, at the end of the day, I can walk away from it knowing that, well, as far as I'm concerned, this is like a great album for myself. I love it. I love the songs. I love this band. I love the message in the music. I love everything in it. I'm just really happy to be part of it. And I'm talking too much, so.
No.
Good stuff, Rex.
So Dave, how do you, you know, as you guys started doing the new record and stuff like that, kind of what was, did you put the lyrics on there, or did that all come?
Really? I mean, not that much. I did on a couple, I mean, Rex is, in my opinion, honest opinion, I mean, he's like a musical genius to me, because he'll write a riff that is like right up my alley. And then, you know, then he'll say, okay, here's the melody line, you know, and we, you know, he may come with a whole song already prepared, you know, and sing it for me like an octave lower about where he wants to go. And, you know, of course I get creative freedom, you know, but I don't need much freedom, because he's already given me something really perfect, you know, but I just take a hold of it and work with it and mold it into my own style on that riff and staying within the guidelines of the melody. And it's worked beautifully, you know. But Rex is really the musical genius behind the songwriting. I contribute with my vocals and, a little bit with lyrics, but that's the reality of it. And he always has been. I mean, all the White Cross stuff has been all Rex. I mean, I guess Scotty wrote the lyrics on some of the stuff, but Rex was always doing the producing, and you know, he's got such a great ear, you know, he can, if you hit a note and it's just a little bit flat or sharp, I mean, he's made me a better singer, but hit a little little sharp or flat, he's gonna let you know, hey dude.
That's not the way I wrote that. You gotta go up.
One thing that's a concern to me in that is I'm terrified of the idea that, you know, like if Dave and I are working together in the studio, and if he's behind the mic and I'm sitting behind the console and I'm pressing on the talkback button, dude, that was a little sharp, no, that one was a little flat, over a period of time, you know, I don't want to have any walls of resentment building up. One of our ways to get around that is when we have a song that we feel is working out well for the band, we have a couple of options. We have people in Nashville, we're good friends with a guy named John Lowry, who Great I've grand- known for many years. He helped us out with the vocals, and I just turned the session over to John. I said, John, you work with Dave, and you know, you can nail him down on, you know, the sharp and the flat and this, sing it more of this, sing it more of that, whatever. And that way, you know, I don't have to be put into that position of telling my fellow bandmate this or that or the other. And it takes a lot of trust for me as a writer to do that, because you know, a lot of the lines in the song will come out differently, and I'll be sometimes like, well, I don't know if this is going in the right way, but I've learned to trust the process. You know, we all trust the process. And Dave, I think you are the same way. You sometimes you're in there by the end of the day, you're singing this, you're singing like 100 different things. And by the end of the day, you have no idea how it came out, right?
Yeah, that's so true. That session, it took a week to record the vocals. We did them in Nashville. And after we got through, I told Rex, I said, I don't even know what I did. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we were putting in 8 hours a day or whatever it was, sometimes 13, I think, on the first or second day.
Yeah. Just
solid singing, you know. And I had no idea. I mean, I heard some stuff. I was going, oh, wow, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yep. Did I do that? You know,
but when you have a process like that, the end result is always so it's never quite the same as what you and you know what came straight out of my head, but that's fine because Dave does his thing. He's a great singer and he gets stronger as you think, well, singing like 12 hours a day for 7 days straight, when you kind of wear down, yeah, a little bit at the end, but he's got such a strong voice. He gets stronger as the shows accumulate. And as the vocal sessions accumulate, he just gets better and better and more dialed in.
That's one thing we've seen with, you know, a lot of our people that we like, our heroes, or people that we listen to a lot. You know, there are some of those people that, you know, as they get older, it seems like it's like your voice, their voice even gets better. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones that just, they hit a wall and they either stop singing or they try to keep going.
And they should have stopped singing.
And they should have stopped singing. I just saw a thing the other day where, you know, Robert Plant's been doing a lot of stuff with Alison Krauss, you know, been doing all that stuff with her. But they did like an old Zeppelin song, just popped up on YouTube, and he was hitting some stuff. I'm like going, dude can still do it. He just doesn't, you know, he's just not pushing it, but he can still do it. And, you know, God love him for doing that. You know, it's great to see people who still have their voice.
Yeah.
And
and he's not trying to do it on a tour of four nights a week for 12 weeks and that kind of stuff either.
That's true, too.
Yeah. But, yeah. So do you think I know that some bands don't use outside producers, you know, they do try to produce a lot of them. Do you think that helps you guys then with, pushing each other in a different way and the band to do better things? I know that some bands, you know, even some of my favorite bands have a tendency to be self-produced and that you lose some things after a while with that. You don't have that person telling you to do something
different.
I
can just tell you from my personal experience that the first producer I ever had was a really great guy. He was a mentor and he taught me how to play guitar, and he doesn't play guitar, but he taught me how to be a rock guitar player. And, you know, and he knew so much about the guitar. And I would challenge him on his points. He goes, oh, well, that's the way Gary Moore does it. And I would say, well, how would you know? He says, well, when I was in the studio with Gary and talking to him about his techniques, and he explained to me that this is how he does this thing or the other thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that was my first producer. And I always have a soft spot for Mr. Delahan from Atlantic Records. And be forever grateful for that. But then after that, my experience with producers, it just went straight to hell in a handbasket. Had mostly producers who are like, well, they're sort of my friend in the studio, but they're working for the record company. They're getting paid by the record company. And this, of course, is back in the analog days. And then in the digital world that we've all transitioned into, I finally have got to the point where I'm going to produce my band because nobody is going to advocate I want that bass guitar lick to be heard. You know, you think about the bass player for a minute. Everybody's, oh, the guitar is great, right? We've already on this podcast, we've talked about the guitars. Oh, the guitars. But, you know, how about some love for the bass player? Well, he's not going to, you know, he's going to get buried or you know, what about the drummer? You know, let's have some love for the drummer. You know, everybody's got their place to shine. So I am like, I am all in favor of advocating for my band. And in the studio, you know, it's got to be, you know, people can't do their best work if they don't know that the whole thing is, you know, we're all in. When Dave is singing, the whole band, we're all in his corner. We want him to do his best work. And, you know, the engineers that we'll work with, you know, we want to push him in a session so that he does things that even Dave didn't know that Dave could do.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to do my guitars. And I just want the record to come out great. So I've just had enough bad experiences with producers that, and even back in the day, I said to the record label a couple times, well, if you get me a real producer, like, and I could name drop the guy that we got, but I won't do that. But they called me up 2 days later. Guess what? We got you this guy that you wanted. He's one of the guys who worked on some of the LA rock bands that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, he came into the studio and just, he looked at our project. Oh, you guys aren't well known like these other groups. This is just a little side project, cash flow for me. He didn't care. He had his engineer do the whole thing. He didn't have anything to contribute, nothing to contribute. He just took the money and did the minimal amount of work. So, you know, that was like the last straw. After that, it's like, now I've got to advocate for myself and for my band and make sure that our voice is heard collectively and that our records come out sounding amazing, like Fear No Evil.
Yeah, it's a great sounding record. There's no doubt about it.
And Rex, you just mentioned the bass player, and guess who pops up?
Sorry, guys. I got kicked out, and I couldn't get back on. I'm so sorry.
I'm okay. Falling, and I can't get up.
That's what it felt like.
He was just talking great about you, and all of a sudden, he's like, pop.
You just appear. It's amazing.
Well, Benny, we were just talking about producers in albums, and I was just saying that, if there's like a bass lick that you play, I want to make sure that it gets heard on the album and not buried in the mix, you know?
Yeah, we certainly hope so, you know, because the bass is, needs to be heard over everything.
Right. Everything louder than everything else.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex, what's that saying who was it? Somebody from Pink Floyd said something about, you know, a band.
Yeah, he said the drummer. He said, I thought this was great. He said, a band consists of a bass player and a drummer, and then various assorted novelty acts on the top.
That's probably fair.
I love it.
That's funny.
That's probably fair.
Also, I like the Yngwie Malmsteen mentality. You know, how can less be more? More is more. And I had an engineer friend from back in the day, and he used to say the same thing. Yeah, more is really a lot. It's just the way that he said it. You know, well, they say that less is more, but actually, more is like really a lot. So I like a lot. I like a lot of lots of lots.
Cool.
So David, with the record coming out, what are you guys going to do about touring? Are you going to tour this? Are you going to go out and start hitting the road?
Yeah, absolutely. We did a little tour in Europe last October.
Right.
And, you know, told everybody that it's coming out, that it was actually finished, but just, you know, not ready. But yeah, we definitely plan on touring a lot.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys do it? And so do you go along with other Christian acts, or do you get involved with other, like on a tour with just, or do you play along with other bands? You know, being a Christian act, I know that a lot of times that it's, you want to stay with their same, you know, kind of, I'm saying this wrong with the herd.
Yeah, he's just butchering this.
You know, no, because I always found this kind of interesting, because I was telling you earlier about a friend of mine who left our band and started playing with the Evansville band back in the 80s, about the same time you guys were getting started. And it was just the way that, you know, they, you toured, you did certain things, but you didn't play the same place as everybody else has played. So
we do both, I think.
Right. Yeah, we'll play anywhere, and we'll play with any band. We do have some dates coming up with Petra, which is one Petra's, of the well-known Christian rock bands.
Petra's been around forever. I mean, yes, it's the same
and,
the same
and they
as you
have
guys.
A huge audience, so right. We'll do shows with them. We're doing on March 22nd, which is the day that the record is released worldwide. We have a record release party in Pittsburgh happening. Cool. So we are getting around, and earlier today I was just talking with a promoter friend of mine in Sweden. So we're setting up some dates over there. So I would say we're still doing a lot of one-offs, a lot of weekend dates,
okay.
Some fly-in stuff, some stuff that's like just regional. But we are hoping to upgrade that to, where we have enough, because we used to be back in the 90s, especially, we were like full-time touring all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just didn't tour very smart or very well as we could have or should have, but we didn't have anybody advising us on how to run our business either. So, we were just kids who had a rock band and we were doing the best we could with it.
The thing is now you're older.
We've been the guinea pigs for so many experiments, from other people. Now right. We've lived and learned, and now we're trying to do things a little better, a little smarter, a little wiser. And now we're all a little older too. So it goes with the territory, I guess.
I mean, you've got the music, and especially your new album, you got the songs, you got great music out there. If if you go out and play that stuff live, people are going to love it. So, get out there.
That's the goal.
Yeah, we've even had where we opened up this last, I think it was October. We did open up for Stephen Piercy, and
there you go.
That was a really eye-opener for us as well. I think we were able to gain some fan base that people didn't even know about us. We've been around for decades. But it was good to kind of refreshing to hear people saying, "Wow, I never heard of your band. You guys are so good." And so getting to touch from a different fan perspective, because we do, us being a Christian band, we do have a fan base and that has been with us for years, and we like to tap in with them, but also as well going into a different side of things as well, just not only just in Christian music, but other than Christian music still.
Yeah, the genre is the same genre. It's just a matter of what the lyrics and the message is being passed, passed in the lyrics. I mean, mm-hmm. that's otherwise. Okay. It's you can't tell the difference. I mean, musically, it sounds great. It sounds like any other rock band. So I don't know why it wouldn't it matter. And I know that
you followed them more than I did. Like I said, I was always I knew about Stryper and I had their albums and I had a few things. But you actually, Bill, you were really kind of followed that for a long time.
Yeah, I was. For sure. Red and even some of the newer bands, right. Red and some of those folks. I mean, I followed them and stuff like that. Right. And it's just but I think it's also band. I've always felt music is about emotion too, right? It's if it grabs you and it moves you and it makes you think about something different, or if it takes you to a different place, or if it, sometimes I believe that, personally, and I know this is a whatever, but, I believe God puts things in your place to get your attention sometimes. And sometimes it's a band that they put in your way to go, you need to think about what they're saying to you. And it could be even a rock metal band. I mean, a regular metal band, it doesn't have to be, so I don't care a whole lot when people start trying to figure out how to pigeonhole stuff, just don't pigeonhole it. Make it just be rock and be done with it,
I guess in the if you look at things historically in the 1960s, rock music was very young, and it was kind of like in its teenage years, and it was all about, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and rebellion. And, you know, that's always, you know, the young bands are always going to be starting from that point. And we just, you know, we've been around for a while, like we said, and we just want to present a positive message that, hey, you know, God is cool. And if you want to be like, if you want to live your life like Gene Simmons, you can certainly do that. We're not telling anybody don't live your life like Gene Simmons or Stephen Piercy, but by the same token, we have messages in our songs too, and you know, and people say, oh, leave your religion out of your music or leave your politics out of your music, and that's, boy, that drives people nuts, doesn't it? When musicians start talking about politics or issues, but if you think about it. Every single artist has opinions about politics or the situation, things going on in the world, and every single one of them is spouting off their views. And sometimes, you know, there's one guy I saw on TV back in the day. Hey, come join us for MTV Hedonism Weekend. And then later on, he's talking about, well, you know, you can't, we're just, you know, we're not political. We just put our music across. No, there's nothing, you know, kids should not listen to us for any kind of a message. But then later on, same guy, he's at Farm Aid, and he's like, well, yes, it's very nice that we can have this platform so that we can influence the world and be a positive voice for change. It's like, well, make up your mind, you know, which the reality is, you know, the reality is every musician out there has things that they want to say through their art, and art, and in the larger sense of the word, art is, that is where, if you think about what is culture, culture is, comes from the arts first. It comes from the arts, has a tremendous capacity to shape the world and the way we think. And so we just want to, you know, with our music, we just want to present something positive that people can grab onto, something that I feel good about sharing with my kids and their friends, you know. So if that makes me sound a little bit like your dad, oh, well, so be it, you know, but. That's but I think people look at some of the characters, trust me. I think people look at some of the characters that are out there, like the Gene Simmons types people, and it's like, yeah, would you really want to live your life that way and sort of present that kind of image to your family and those around you? So I don't know, you know, everybody, it's a big world, and there's plenty of room for everything, and good music is good music. And, you know, in this album, it rocks. It's, like I said, it's, I couldn't be more excited about it. And it's got the riffs, and it's got the songs, yeah, and it's got the vocals. So just, it's rock and roll at the end of the day. It's music.
Yeah. Is that going to be
music? Is something that brings us together.
Is it going to be available in vinyl?
I certainly hope so.
Boy, I hope so.
That's, we've had a lot of people talk about that's.
Bill and I will be first ones to buy.
Far from the only person who's asked that question. I guess if you know, about 6 months from now, we'll know how well the album is doing. And the early indicators are that it has done really well with the pre-sales, and the excitement level and the interest level is certainly seems to be there. So I would reasonably predict it's a good possibility of some vinyl. So, you know, can't say for sure, but just, you know, if the current trend continues, then yeah, we'll come back to this next year. And
we'll, well, if it's a, if you do a limited run, Bill and I should get an email. Because Bill and I will both buy
one. We'll keep tabs on that bad boy. That's for sure. You know, Rex, one of the things that for me, we get sent new music periodically, but for me, that first cut on the record, that first song, if that first song doesn't grab me, I am done. I mean, I have I have ditched so many records, so much stuff that we've got.
Bill will throw away a classic if that first song sucks. He's like,
I see what you're saying. You put on a CD and right away, if the first song either grabs you or it's like
yeah.
And if you're out, then you're out.
Smash or trash.
Yeah, I don't go to two. I'm sure as I'm like going to 10.
So you'll make it like 20 seconds into the first song and you've already made up your mind.
Yeah, I'll give it a little bit longer than that, but it's got to be, it's got to be the riff. It's got to be something that's engaging. And it could be even a ballad on the front, just as long as it's engaging. But there's so many times that you get something that's just the first cut is garbage. But I'm telling you, the first cut, the way we rock on this album.
What's the way that we rock?
It grabs you.
It's all killer, no filler. That's what I say.
I'm the same way. I listen to something new, and it's like I'm always cautious. Well, okay. So the music starts. All right, it's kind of a cool riff, but there's still this little asterisk in the back of my head. Yeah, but let's see what happens when the vocalist comes in, and then a lot of times, it's kind of a letdown. But then when I hear like a David Roberts, I'm like, oh yeah.
Absolutely. That can make such
I don't want to crank it up.
Yeah, it makes such a big difference. I reviewed a record not long ago from a very well known guitar player in his band. And the riffs were great. The vocalist was horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Somebody didn't love them enough to go back and go, okay, you ask us to listen to this and don't put it out. But they didn't.
You gotta have guys that you believe in.
They didn't have David. That was the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, needed a better singer. The guitar is great.
People go, I'll sit here confidently and tell you that. You got to roll with the David Roberts because he'll put your mind at ease the same way when you're listening to a beautiful David Coverdale, Still of the Night, or Here I Go Again or something. You just want to hear that amazing, big, larger than life vocal. It's here. We got it.
Do you ever throw any of that into the show? Any of the 80s metal stuff, rock stuff, do you ever throw one of those in the show just for kicks and giggles or anything?
Not so much in a White Cross show, but I think, Dave, you got your start playing with a lot of tribute bands, right?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I do Whitesnake, Zeppelin, and Sammy Hagar tributes.
Oh.
Now, I'm getting busier with White Cross. White Cross, of course, is my, number one band, and those other bands are like my day job. So
not a bad day job either. It's like great.
So it's like, but mostly, I mean, I'm doing a Sammy Hagar show, but I do a lot of Zeppelin shows in between White Cross, mm-hmm. and that pretty much fills me up. So I haven't done any, I used to do a lot of White Snake. And in fact, that's how I got into this band is the drummer. Saw a YouTube of me doing White Snake band called Saints and Sinners, and then that's how I met these guys. It was basically through that. I mean, that was the beginning of it. But yeah, tribute bands and rock and roll is I've done all my life. Well, not tribute bands. I mean, I've done original stuff too. But when I had the opportunity to sing rock and roll and have the message be about Jesus, I was like, I'm all in, because
that's cool.
I'm a believer, I'm not ashamed of it. Yeah. And I love rock and roll. So to me, it's just, this is like, this is so cool for me. I couldn't be happier.
Cool.
That's great.
And us too.
Yeah, John, how long have you been in the band, John? Or Ben, sorry. I said John.
Oh, yeah.
Ben.
Uh-huh. John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a newbie for a while before Dave got in the band. Now he's a new kid, but I was always referred as a new kid, even up until like a few years ago when Dave entered in, because I've been now 24 years, coming up on 24 years now. And so now that new kid title goes to Dave. So
yes. I remember when I joined that one band, I was a new guy for so long, and then finally we had a new singer come in and going, thank goodness. I'm not the new guy no more. She's the new gal because I can't take this no more. And then I outlasted them all, actually.
Yeah. So. Do they still, Dennis, do they still make you tear down the sets and stuff and put them up and just being the new guy, even though you weren't the new guy anymore?
I owned everything. I owned I owned the trailer, the PA, the lights, everything. So,
that's
yes,
you were the new guy.
Well, it's hard to kick you out now.
Well, I came in and I said, you know what? You guys have crap. So I started, you know, I invested everything I made in back into the band, which they didn't do. And then at 9 years later, I owned everything. So then I left and they didn't have nothing.
isn't that how David Lee Roth got the gig in Van Halen? Because he owned
Basically, because he owned it.
Yeah, he owned a
lot. Well, and then Ozzy did the same thing. He had a PA system.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. And they went to his house because they go, we need a singer and we need a PA, and you have both.
Now, was it Ozzy or Sharon?
He's not half bad as a singer either.
Yeah, okay.
I think David had the apartment, too. I think that was the other gig. I think he had, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had the apartment.
Yeah. Now, was it Ozzy's or was it Sharon's?
No, that was before Sharon. That was way before Sharon. This is Black Sabbath days. Right? This was back. Yeah, I'm kidding.
It's hard to tell back then with him for sure who owned what.
Well, anyway, I'm loving the new. Like I said, I've been listening to it. I'm loving the new album, and it was one of those things where you were talking about earlier, Rex. You know, you weren't on my radar. That's one thing I love about this podcast is I get to hear bands, not new bands to me, not that you guys are new because you've been around forever, but it's new to me. And that's one thing I love about this show is I find new music because it's hard to find nowadays.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And you know, yeah, that's what it is. And that's why we do these podcasts because we're, you know, you're no matter how long you're in business, you're constantly exposing yourself to new listeners. You know, you think about some of these icons that we're talking about here tonight, you know, Ozzy or David Coverdale. You talk to a 17-year-old and you go, what do you think of Ozzy? And they say, yeah, I've heard that name before. Who is that again?
He's like, that old dude.
They don't even know. They don't even know, right? So every day you're reaching out to new people and you're trying to reach people with your music. So now here we are, and the best way for us to really get this record out there is to go out and play it live. So that's what we're going to do.
Hopefully, we'll see.
You know what
I
call it when the 17-year-old doesn't know Ozzy?
What's that?
Bad parenting.
Bad parenting. I knew you were going to say that.
Pretty bad.
Bad parenting. Yeah, my kids know.
Well, if nothing else, at least they know about Kiss, right?
Oh, they know plenty of that. Yeah. They know about a lot of bands. We go to that's been something that's always been really important for me. So we go to a lot of stuff together, and it's cool. I have, you know, kids that are 25 and 30 and whatever now, and we go to stuff together still because it's that. I think music is just something that's, you know, it bonds people and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
It's magical. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so they drag you to see some of their bands too, right?
Yeah, I'm not as willing as they are, come to mind. I have to admit that I sometimes don't reciprocate as much as I probably should.
You mean no Ariana Grande or anything? Or,
oh yeah. Yeah.
I know who she is. Will I go see her? No. Yeah. No.
I think I saw her she opened for somebody on a country tour and she was there and I saw her for that. So,
oh, really? You actually seen it? I got to give you props for that. I did. Well, you're better than me.
I think our next album is going to be, we've been having discussions about trying to do a cross between country and disco.
Sure. Hey, you know what? That you can do anything you want anymore. And it's true. There's a genre.
It'll be your one. It'll be that one album. It's like the Kiss's Elder. It'd be like your one experimental album.
Yeah.
Everybody goes.
Now we came back to our regular one. It's like,
right. Right. Yeah, you're asking me to do the Bee Gees falsetto voice?
There you go.
Yeah. No, I like what Angus Young said when they go, I get really pissed off when people say you have 14 albums out that all sound the same. These people should know we have 16 albums out there.
That's brilliant.
And you know what? As the bank keeps rolling.
And they sold a ton of them, care. You know.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, with this record for us, too, we talk about in our songs, our audience has gotten to know us. And they know that, all these things that we've talked about, well, it's a guitar band. There's lots of guitar riffs. Right. And, we have the vocals to go along with. And, we have the amazing production. We hired some really great talent in Nashville to work with us on the mix and mastering and all that kind of stuff. So all the technical stuff sounds great. So the album will sound huge in your car stereo.
Cool.
But it's just a continuation of everything that we've done. From day one until now, it's just more of the same.
So Rex, you've been in since day one.
Yeah, from day one, 1985 when we started. So I had already been an artist on. I had my one big shot on Atlantic Records back in 1985.
Okay.
So in 84 on a record that came out in 85, and then. And that album ended up not selling, although everybody thought that Atlantic loved it. They thought it was brilliant. But then I met Scott Wenzel in the summer of 85. We started working on White Cross. That came out in 87, okay. And everybody bought it, even though technically we didn't really know what we were doing. But, so we just started from ground zero, and we built, every year we just continued to build incrementally more and more and more. So, and that brings us to where we are now. And, all the knowledge that we've acquired along the way, it's like, so now it goes out on this project.
Cool.
That's cool.
Well, Rex, where can people find you?
Best, a great place to find us is whitecrossband.com. And when the new record comes out, it'll be on Amazon, basically, for those of us in the U.S., worldwide, too. Wherever you buy music, because I don't even know where people go. I guess probably 90% of the people buy their music from Amazon, right?
We have a local record store that I buy a lot of.
Okay, you have a local record store. Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome. There was nothing I would love to see better than like a comeback for mom and pop stores in general of all kinds.
There's a little bit of music over there.
Oh yeah.
I can't quite turn mine around that far, but I've got, but anyway, get the same thing.
Well, that's great. You're buying it from the store because
we have a nice store here, and they're very good people, and we try to pre-order stuff from them wherever we can.
There's a place. The good part about the iTunes and the Amazons and those guys right now is the physical. It's so easy to carry things around in your car and on your phone and the connectivity that we all have now. But I still like having a physical product. I still like
absolutely
having an album, that I can read the lyrics on, and that kind of stuff. So for me, that's still kind of a thing. I don't buy. I don't buy every single thing that I listen to. But
we live in a different world than we used to. When all of us were kids,
Rex,
you purchased. The album, that's a beautiful.
That's a nice act.
That's over.
When I knew he was getting up, I'm like,
this is called a Harper. It's made in a guy from Boonville. This is actually all handmade. This is a one off.
Oh, how gorgeous. The plate.
Beautiful, man. It is
really nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. You've been holding that guitar all day. I'm like going, that
very nice. Yeah, well, just have my Charvel, and you know,
love those. They're great.
Standard issue rock and rolls. Of course, this is Jakey Lee's signature model.
Nice.
So can't go wrong with that, though.
Jake is one of my favorite guitar players. You know, so people want to know what the album sounds like. It sounds like Jakey Lee. It sounds like George Lynch. It sounds like Warren DeMartini. It sounds like John Sykes. You know,
sounds like Rex Carroll, and it sounds really good.
Yeah, it sounds like me too. Yeah. So for better and for worse, all of that. But you know, you think about where albums are at nowadays. Kids are they have about a 20-second attention span, and that's because of TikTok.
Yep.
Right, and everybody's just like this all day long. You know, myself included. So. You know, so we're all guilty of just living half of our lives on the phone anymore, watching little reels and shorts and TikToks and things like that. So, you know, that makes it tough. But we do really invite people to check the album out. And to your point of it's like, well, if it doesn't grab me, you know, like 1 minute into the first song, I'm out. Right. So I'm good with that. I'll throw down that gauntlet. You check this out, you put it out, you just try song one, boom. After 1 minute, if you're not hooked, then move on to something. Mm-hmm.
Do 30 seconds, you're going to be hooked. I'm telling you.
We're pretty confident with what we have, and we feel that it rocks.
Good. That's what matters. Well, thank you guys for being on. We really appreciate your time tonight. It's been a great conversation, so thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Hang out here for just a second. Let me take us out of here, and then we'll tap for another second. So,
right. Yeah, Bill, move your mic up a little bit. You're way low. There you go. I can hear you.
There you go. All right, so you can find us on all the usual. I think there's a wire cross. That's
there. You go.
There we go. You'll
not
find
a white
us on
cross.
A wire cross.
Not a white. Yes. We are. I had a wire crossed with white cross. So there you go. All right. So, you can find us on the usual outlets with podcasting. So go check us out, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.